My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
It's time for Warriors This Week, brought to you by Oaks Card Club. Play smart, play at Oaks.
Why not? Here's Steph Curry!
Now, here's John Dickinson.
We welcome you in. Matt Snyman's with me as well here on 95.7 The Game. Warriors This Week, the inaugural edition for the 2019-20 NBA season. And Steiny, this is a huge day for the Golden State Warriors. Goes without saying. The first game tonight at Chase Center. The Lakers in town, preseason game number one. And we are broadcasting live from the Warrior Shop at Thrive City, which is right here on the grounds of Chase Center. So a big day ahead, and we're happy to be a part of it here for the next 4 hours.
Yeah, it takes me back to when I had to write a paper in high school or college, but I needed a theme. I needed a theme for my paper. And I think we can all agree the theme this year for the Golden State Warriors is going to be everything is different. I mean, everything is different. And I really got a sense of that this week, starting at Media Day, just coming into the new facility here, the Chase Center in San Francisco. It will not be a Warrior season like we've been used to. They're not going to be as good, most likely. They're going to have a lot of different personnel than we're used to seeing. They're not going to be without Klay Thompson, who's been a fixture on this team for almost a decade now, at least for the first 55 games. So this is really going to be a year of adjustment for the Golden State Warriors. We don't really even know what kind of team they're going to have this year, how good they're going to be. So there's going to be a lot of getting used to, and that goes for the players too, because they're basically, they've all changed their routines, and they're walking in this week to an entirely new setting, a new situation, and it's going to take the team some time to get used to. But change can be exciting, JD.
Yeah, it can be exciting, and I think, you know, the regular season for this Warriors team is going to be in many ways more exciting from just an evaluation standpoint compared to where this team has been the last few years, where everything was ready-made,
right,
and all the conversation was about can they win a championship, right? And so a lot of what you would see during the regular season, you would just throw out the window.
Right.
It almost didn't matter. A bad game here, somebody doesn't play there, and an injury mixed in as well. And it was all geared toward, well, what's it going to matter once it gets to April and May and even June? Now, I think the conversation shifts with all of the change. And look, you almost have to throw Klay Thompson off to the side because he's
right,
coming back from an ACL injury. We'll see Klay at some point around March 1st, it sounds like. So you've got a new backcourt, at least initially, with Stephen Curry and D'Angelo Russell. You've got just a myriad of players that are going to attempt to play small forward for the Warriors, with Kevin Durant now gone. Draymond Green has been signed to a contract extension, and the center position is very different than it's been in recent memory. And there's already some injury concerns just in the first week, with Willie Cauley-Stein being down for at least October and probably the early part of November, with him scheduled to be reevaluated at the end of October. Kevon Looney had a little hamstring issue that doesn't sound serious, but Alan Smilagic is somebody that the Warriors were probably going to count on to play, to at least see what he's got, and now he's going to be out for the foreseeable future. So depth maybe coming into the year is of concern, and the Warriors are already a little shorthanded, and they haven't even played a preseason game yet.
Yeah, there's been a couple times this summer where it's kind of hit me how different things are, and then it hit me again this week when you come to media day for the first time in decades, and it's not where it's usually been in Oakland. It's over here, and sometimes it hits you really hard. And the one stat or the one way to describe it where I realize this thing is completely different and it will be completely different is when I think of this. The Warriors will start this season, JD, without five of their top seven players from last year. They will not have Kevin Durant. They will not have Iguodala. They will not have Livingston. They will not have DeMarcus Cousins. And they will not have Klay Thompson. When I think of it that way, JD, then that kind of hits me like a cold bucket of water. You look at that and you're thinking, goodness gracious, this is going to be vastly different from past years. But again, it's just all a matter of how you approach it. You can't win every title every year. So I think this year is going to be about, let's figure out how good we are now that everything's shaken out. And then once we see that, we can try to improve for the year after this upcoming year by knowing what we're going to need in the future. Maybe that's what we're looking at here.
Well, one of the things that we were talking about this, I think, July 1st when free agency hit, and I started looking at it, and you and I disagreed on this a little bit, but I said, boy, Steiny, I'm looking at this year and what they may have, and you make the trade for D'Angelo Russell, and you like him as a player, but he's got value probably around the league where other teams in different situations of their growth would want to take on a talent like him at some point down the line. So I started looking at this season almost as twofold. It's you see what you got, but you maybe are in position with a trade exception, with D'Angelo Russell, with maybe a better draft pick than the Warriors have had in recent years, even if this team makes the playoffs. And I said to you, I almost like the 2021 Warriors in terms of competing for a championship, or the 2022 Warriors in terms of making another run, depending upon how they set themselves up this season. And again, that doesn't mean tank. You're intentionally trying, but it's just,
you got to find out what you are.
But you have to almost, in a way, use this year as a break, a transition from what you've been to,
but not a total break,
but what you want to become.
Right, but not a total break, because you still think you're going to have your core a year from now that now you can pepper in players around.
I just have a hard time thinking championship.
That's
this probably
year.
The way. Yeah, this year. But
I do too.
But I don't think, as we sit here today, on October 5th of 2019, I don't think it's crazy to think the Warriors could be a championship contender in 2021.
Oh, I got you. I got you. Well,
but I would not put them in that category right now, which I think, you say that and you probably get a little resistance. You probably get a little pushback.
Right. In other words, what you're saying is, hypothetically, I'd give the Warriors a 1 in 10 chance to win it this year. But next year, even though I'm not even sure what they may be like specifically, I'd give them a 6-1 chance.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. I want to just kind of go back to when Kevin Durant left, when that happened, the team's decisions. And you and I had kind of gone back and forth on this, and I'm not sure I felt overly strong one way. But Kevin Durant decides he wants to go to Brooklyn, and out of nowhere, the Warriors get D'Angelo Russell. Now, it came at a cost. He's going to make $30-plus million a year. But there was another way the Warriors could have gone at that point, and that was to allow Kevin Durant to go to Brooklyn, and then you can bring back Iguodala. You don't have to do anything with him, and obviously maybe try to squeeze another year out of Livingston. The problem with that, and I thought that might not have been the worst way to go because it would have maintained a lot of your salary cap flexibility or more of it than ended up happening, you know, in a year or two. But the reality of the situation, JD, is if you don't get D'Angelo Russell in here, let's say there is no D'Angelo Russell, and you don't have Klay Thompson for 55, 60 games, you are looking at a team that will have that. Now that I look at it, the roster, how would that team score? How would a team that's putting out there Steph Curry, Draymond, Looney, Iguodala, Livingston, who else? I mean, how is that team going to score? So they bring in D'Angelo Russell. They can start the season with two 20-point scores, and at least firepower at least shouldn't be a something they – you know, they've got some firepower.
Well, and you had to have it.
Exactly.
You had to have it. And it takes a little bit of pressure. I mean, it takes a little bit of pressure off of Stephen Curry. And look, Stephen Curry, I'm not of the belief, and we'll get into this coming up maybe in a little bit more detail, because I think it's a big storyline for this team as we start to unpack what's ahead of them this season. You know, this is a year in some ways that I think many Warriors fans have been looking forward to, in the sense of, you know, Stephen Curry's going to get judged. And again, I say that while also saying I don't think he has anything he has to prove as far as his career goes. But he's going to be judged a little bit more like we've seen maybe James Harden or Russell Westbrook be judged in the past, because he's not going to have Klay Thompson riding alongside of him for a good portion of this season, because Kevin Durant is gone. It's going to be on him, even with D'Angelo Russell in the fold, to carry more of the weight, to be used more, to score more, to maybe be more dominant this year, and try and maintain efficiency as well, which I think isn't going to be easy.
No, it's not going to be easy.
But I also think there's a certain set of Warriors fans that's thinking, Let's see what Steph can do with the wheels, you know, with the training wheels off a little bit, or that, you know, built-in context of having such a great team around him to where everybody can kind of share it and he can still get his.
Yeah, I'd be a little worried about that, to tell you the truth. And the reason is, you know, we say, well, maybe he's going to be a little like Harden now, a little like Westbrook. There's one difference, and that is Harden's been playing that way now for a few years, and his teammates have been playing with him like that for a few years. Ditto with Westbrook. When you play with Westbrook, I get it, Westbrook's on the same team now as James Harden, but last year in Oklahoma City, Westbrook's teammates knew how he was going to play. If you look at Curry, he's going to be playing with a new team. So it's one thing had he come back and it would be him, Klay, Draymond, and I do think Klay's obviously a huge part of this, but it's going to be Steph Curry, D'Angelo Russell, he's never played with before. Draymond, who's still not an offensive player. Willie Cauley-Stein / Looney, neither of whom are big offensive players. What I'm getting at is that if they're even going to play that way, they've got to figure out how to play that way with Steph Curry handling the ball more. But the one thing I do believe is I think you almost have to stagger Steph Curry and D'Angelo Russell. Not as much as you can, but a lot, because I don't know that you can play with both those guys off the floor.
That's going to be very interesting, because, I mean, obviously they're both going to start.
Right.
You'd think Curry and Draymond Green are still going to play the first and third quarters together.
Right.
Or you'd go back to something like that. I know Draymond wasn't necessarily, because he would go out and then come back in.
Sure.
Russell goes out, but you're right. To what extent? Is it a couple of three minute rests for D'Angelo Russell? Is it a 6 minute rest for D'Angelo Russell? Like, it's going to be tough, and they're going to have to find offense from other areas. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. It is Warriors this week. We are going to be joined at 10:30 by Connor Letourneau of the San Francisco Chronicle, and also at 12:30 by Mark Medina, now of USA Today, and now covering the league and the Western Conference more as a whole. He's going to be in town for the Warriors taking on the Lakers tonight at Chase Center. First game ever at Chase Center. We are live at the Warriors Shop at Thrive City. Your phone calls coming up and more conversation here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
John Dickinson, Matt Steinmetz, the Warriors Shop at Thrive City, which is right here at Chase Center, with you until 1 o'clock. And man, this place is cool, just looking around.
Well, it's enormous, first of all. It's the flagship store of the team on the site of the Chase Center. A lot of stuff going on here. And there's also the Hooptopia, which is an interactive place where the kids can go and adults too. But the one thing they have here, JD, it's pretty cool. You basically, it's called personalization. You can personalize your own jersey. So you can pick among four, five jerseys, pick your own number, pick your own name that you want on the back. And, yeah, it could be Steinmetz 22 or whatever.
Right.
Or it could be Green 23, which is his real number.
Right, or if there's, you know, because, you know, you can, look, you can come in here and you can get a Curry jersey.
Correct.
You get a Draymond jersey.
Correct.
You can get a Klay Thompson jersey. But you know what? Let's say you want a Glenn Robinson the third jersey. Let's say you like him.
Yeah.
And you want a Glenn, you can, or the Warriors make a trade for somebody in the middle of the year. You can get one.
Yes.
You can get their number with their name, and you can create that jersey that they may, you know, may not have, you know, fully stocked.
Yeah, or you could make a shirt with somebody else's last name and give it to them as a gift. I mean, you can do virtually anything. And also, it's not just jerseys, JD. They have, it's called? Direct to garment, which is when you can pick any piece, whether it's a sweatshirt, whether it's a t-shirt, whether it's a jacket, and you can put anything you want any place on the apparel. So if you want to put a shoulder patch on of something, you can.
You can design your own.
You can design your own, like, hooded sweatshirt, for example.
Very cool.
With as much stuff or as little stuff on as you want. And they do that right here. Like, right here. You say what you want, and then you'll have it before you walk out. So it's pretty wild, man.
Very cool. So they'll be open at 10 o'clock. Stop by. Say hi. If you're making a day of coming out here today for the inaugural game at Chase Center, preseason game number one, make sure you stop by and say hi. We'll be out here till 1 o'clock, and then the game tipping at 5 o'clock tonight between the Warriors and the Lakers. So get here, make a day of it. I mean, that's a big part of these five, and in the regular season, 5:30 starts on the weekend. Is it gives you the perfect opportunity to get in the afternoon, make a day of it, and then, hey, the game's going to end about 8 o'clock. You still got time to hang out in the city a little bit afterwards, too.
And one of the things I want to throw out to the listener today at 888-957-9570, kind of make it just kind of a common theme question for the whole show, because I am interested in finding out what people's expectations are of this team, because, I mean, honestly, I look at it, and I can't pigeonhole it. I can't specifically predict what I think out of this team. Is it a 35-win team? Well, that seems low. Is it a 45-win team? That might seem about right. Is it a 50-win team? That seems a little high. My point is I really don't know what to expect this year, and I'd love to know what Warrior fans think of not. And the reason that it's not an easy question to answer is, yes, guess what? You have to factor in the Klay Thompson situation, that he's going to miss over half the season. Is he going to come back? If he comes back, when is he going to come back? If he comes back, where's the team going to be sitting in terms of the standings at that point? So I'd love to get a sense of what fans are thinking heading into this year in terms of the expectations of this team that's won three titles in 5 years.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Got to tip it off with Charlie, right?
Oh, absolutely.
The new season, we tip off with Charlie. Our first caller here on Warriors This Week. Charlie, you're on 95.7 The Game.
All right, guys, let me just catch my breath. Good morning, guys. Real quick, I agree with everything you guys are saying. I as a fan, as you, Matt and you guys know, last year was a Debbie Downer for me. Just the stress of the team. I'm going to just treat. I have no expectations for this team. I think they're about a 45-win team. I think they're a 7-8 seed and potentially even not a playoff team. My biggest concern about the team they obviously have a few all-stars and the offense, but their defense, I think, is going to be, to use a big word, stinky. I don't know how they're going to be up against some of the, especially some of the big boys in the West. You don't have Clay there till March. Curry, as you know, is not a great defensive player. Russell has, being in New York, he was never known for his defensive
Right. Fitness.
You got Draymond, but all those other guys. So they're going to outscore a lot of teams, but ultimately I think they're about a 43, 44, 45 win team. And I think this year is a long audition. And next year, I think this team is going to be turned over again. And I agree with JD. I think they're going to be pushing a deep playoff run next year, not this year.
Thanks, anyway, Charlie.
Guys.
There's just so many new faces, and it's just trying to figure out what the identity of the team, I think, is going to be. That's going to be a little bit different,
no doubt.
It's also fitting. I mean, D'Angelo Russell, Alec Burks, Glenn Robinson, Eric Paschal, Jordan Poole. I'm looking, Smiley Geach when he's healthy, Amari Spellman. I mean, all of these are new players.
Yeah. And
that are unfamiliar with what the Warriors have tried to do the last few years.
And when I told you before that what hits me a lot of times is when you realize they're missing five of their top seven from last year, think about who they lost. I just want you to think about perimeter defense when I throw these names at you. Kevin Durant, Andre Iguodala, Sean Livingston, and Klay Thompson. Those are four above-average defenders. They're all gone. And so there's no way to expect this team's going to be near what they were defensively. Last year they were 11th, and now that was year five of a long run. We know when they needed to push it up, they could probably be one of the better defensive teams.
Here's a scary thought real quick, because you're saying, well, there's no way they can be better defensively, and there's a loss defensively. Well, how could they be as good as they were offensively?
I know. And sometimes you start thinking about that, and you do think, well, why is there any optimism, really, when you get down to it? Well, you know what? There's optimism for a few reasons. And number one and 1A is Steph Curry. I mean, he's proven he's that great of a player. Number two is Draymond Green. And number three is you still got an ace in the hole. You know, maybe you're going to make a mid-season acquisition, essentially, when Klay Thompson comes back. And maybe you found a little nugget in D'Angelo Russell. Who knows? We haven't talked about Looney. You expect him to continue to get a little bit better, for sure. But no, you're right. I mean, the firepower has been diminished. There's no way you could come into this season thinking that the team is better, either offensively or defensively. So how do you maximize what this team's going to be? I think that's what Steve Kerr's job's going to be this year. And also, how do you incorporate some of the young players that are going to have to begin to put a mark on this team? And if it's true that this year they need to figure things out, and maybe the year after this year is when they're going to be able to take a bigger step, well, you're going to need to know that one or two, maybe three young players that you can take with you 2 years from now to grow this team. You know, is it going to be Jordan Poole? You know, is he going to be able to play for this team 2 years from now? Not next year. He's going to get some playing time next year. But can he help you win 2-3 years from now? That's what they got to find out.
Yeah, Eric Paschal, I think, is the same thing.
Like, no doubt.
What's the level that he can contribute now, and is he a piece of a future championship team? 888-957-9570. That's where Bleacher Dave in Oakland checks in. Bleacher Dave, you're here on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, now that baseball season ended Wednesday, I'm back, baby. I'm wondering, how am I going to feel about being in that building? Am I going to be subject to, like, a celebration of San Francisco today for a mythic San Francisco pass that never was for a team that didn't make any marks over there? I'm highly conflicted about how that's going to go down. How's that arena looking over there?
Honestly, Bleacher, thanks for the call. I mean, look, the arena is pretty.
It's awesome.
It's incredible. It's a new arena. It's incredible, and the whole structure is incredible. And here's the bottom line: whether you think Joe Lacob and the Warriors have done enough or not, they clearly are trying to continue to market the team as the Bay's team. At least right now, they've done a lot of things to continually to include Oakland and the East Bay. I live in Oakland. I get it. It's a little bittersweet for me, but it is across a bridge. There's still only one pro team, and it's in the Bay Area. And so I'm kind of 50-50 on it. But how are they going to honor the Oakland and all those kind of things? I mean, I was at the facility. There's all that stuff from the past. There's also going to be the Warriors. What is it going to be like? The Walk of Fame. They're going to do what they got to do to honor the team and its history in Oakland. No doubt about it. It's just going to be an adjustment.
888-957-9570. Look, the Warriors have created a gathering place for war. I mean, this is an unbelievable gathering place for Warriors fans.
Right.
Like, you know, it doesn't matter where it is. It's going to be awesome, and people are going to like it. I mean, if you come out, you can't not like it.
Right. Once you're out here, it's pretty amazing. It really is.
I mean, the Thrive City area, which where we're at right now, the team shop, the arena, you got, I mean, things, and this, look, 2 years from now, there's going to be even more going on.
Right.
Five years from now, there's going to be even more going on. I mean, you build a place like this for the next 50 years.
You would think. unless it's in Atlanta, right? Then it's every 10 years with the baseball stadium or whatever it is.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah.
How about that? Couch Potato is next here on the phone lines. Couch Potato, you're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, listen, I'm looking for you guys to back me up on this one. I was reading a recent article about the Lakers and their closing five lineup. Now, listen, let's flash forward to the playoffs. Let's say that the Lakers are better than expected, number two seed, Warriors number seven seed. Now, check it out. Here's their closing five. Anthony Davis, LeBron James. You've heard of those guys. Then we've got Alex Caruso, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, and Avery Bradley. Now tell me, folks, against a lineup of Draymond Green, Willie Cauley-Stein, Klay Thompson, D'Lo, and Steph Curry? Come on, man. Let's get real, folks.
Well, I think did they trade Kyle Kuzma, the Lakers?
Kuzma is out indefinitely with a foot injury.
Okay, but he'll be back in the playoffs, right? You're talking playoffs.
Great. Okay, great. So you got Braun, Davis, Kuzma, Alex Caruso, and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope.
I think you're forgetting Rondo, too.
Yeah, Rondo might be out there, too, at the end of the game.
Well, they're talking about the bench group. Now, watch out. Scary bench group. Here's this. Green, Rondo, the great Dwight Howard, Troy Daniels, and Devontae Kayok? Who the hell are these guys?
So it sounds to me, Couch, like you think the Warriors can get right back there.
I don't know what's going to happen, but man, I'm telling you, they'll take down the Lakers, no problem. Five or six games with that lineup. Seriously, let's get real, people.
All right, Couch Potato. Thanks for the call. I think the bigger question is, can the Warriors do enough in the regular season to get to that point?
That's a good point.
That's what I keep coming back to when you start looking at, well, can they make a run, right? I think if they're good enough all year to win 45 to 50
right.
games, then I'll say yes, I think they can make a run. And Klay Thompson comes back
right.
March, and he's healthy, and it looks in the month that plus that he'll play in the regular season like, hey, it's Klay Thompson, no ill effects, right? If you're telling me you're going to get that, and you're telling me that this team is going to play well enough to earn a 6-7-8 seed, 45 to 50 wins in the Western Conference, then I at that point will say they've got a shot. But the bigger question for me is, how does it all come together to where they're good enough to be in that position?
Here's the problem here would be my argument against Couch Potato. I'm not saying it's not possible he's right, but there's a chance that if you start the series against the Los Angeles Lakers and they're the two seed and you're the seven seed and Clay's been playing 20 games, there's a chance they'll have the best two players on the floor. LeBron James and Anthony Davis may be the best two players on the floor. And I do not mean that as a slight on Steph Curry, as if to say he's below certain players in the rankings. But what I'm saying is, in a situation like that, where those guys have a full season under their belts, it's very possible that they would go into that series having the two best players on the court, and they'd be on the same team. And they would be a favorite in that regard. So the thing I'm thinking more and more with the Warriors, especially without Klay Thompson, is I think they're going to have some trouble scoring. And we know they're not. And I mean you kind of said it. It's impossible logically to think they're going to be better offensively or better defensively. So they're going to be worse at both ends of the floor. So what does that mean? How many wins? I'm not saying it's 35 wins. I think if I had to, my expectation would be to do what the safest thing would be. And to me, the safest thing, I look at this team and say mid-40s. That's what I would say.
I would say 45 for some reason has been the number that's just popped into my head since July. But it's 45 with the belief that Curry and Draymond Green are going to be healthy.
Right.
D'Angelo Russell's going to fit. The rookies are going to be playable.
See, I think
and you're going to be relatively healthy in other areas, which you already. I'm already 5 days in. Colley Stein's right. Going to be out, and Looney's a little banged up. Although it doesn't seem like it's going to threaten any regular season games for him. But to me, it's 45 if it all kind of clicks, and then Klay Thompson comes back.
And I think that's where some Warrior fans would differ from you and me. They would say, "Well, listen, if Curry and Draymond are healthy, and Curry has a pretty good year, Klay comes back, he looks relatively la 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 la." Well, I think that's a 50-plus win team. I think that's what a lot of Warriors fans would say. I think that's a little high even for all that. But I could see how if you're looking at best-case scenario with the Warriors, yeah, you probably think this team can get to 50 wins. That's not outside the realm of possibility. But, again, you're right. I think a lot has to happen. And I think you have to have a diamond in the rough or two that you don't know. Like, hey, you know what?
Hey, Pascal's a good player.
Or you know what? Jordan Poole helped us win a few games. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Then maybe you're talking higher than that. But I think conservatively, I'm thinking mid-40s. That's what I'd be thinking.
John Dickinson, Matt Steinmetz, we're out at Chase Center, the Warriors shop at Thrive City. We're here until 1 o'clock. Taking your phone calls right now, 888-957-9570. Give us your expectations for this Warriors team. So much change. But you still got number 30, you still got Draymond Green, and you still have Klay Thompson coming back at some point in the regular season. Although, I thought, Bob Myers right out of the chute on Monday at Media Day, we'll have an update for you at the All-Star break. So right away, that couches January or early February or anything like that. He pretty much at that point, with the All-Star game being, I believe, the 16th of February, said, that's it. It's going to be right around there at the earliest.
I actually like that they did that. I really do. And the reason is, and you know why they picked that date? Is because it's essentially 9 months after when the injury happened. And 9 months is the low side of coming back from that kind of injury. So they are basically just saying, what we're going to do right now is rule out unconditionally
9 months
that he's coming back early, period. End of story. And I kind of like that, to tell you the truth, because you know what? You and we know this. If there's somebody who could come back early, it'd probably be Klay.
But that doesn't mean this is the right year to tease
exactly,
that.
Exactly right.
To test that.
Exactly right. And I think, you know what? I also think it works from a strategic point of view, because you know what? If the year doesn't go as well as the Warriors have hoped, then you're going to maybe ask yourself the question, is it worth bringing him back at all? Let's say if there's 20 games left and you've had a bumpy season. I don't know.
I still think there would be, but again, assuming he's ready to go,
sure.
I think there would be a value in, even if it was 10 games or
maybe
5 to 8 games, you just knock the rust off a little bit. It's a lot like baseball. You get a pitcher that'll have his Tommy John surgery, and it'll coincide with, he can be back in September. Well, having 4 or 5 starts in September to just go through the process of that's big. Then you almost come back the next year 100% clean.
Well, how about this? Maybe he wants to come back 15, 20 games because, as he said, he wants to play in the Olympics. He wants to play in the Olympics. So maybe he wants to get a little, loose and unrusty for that first. But, that's the other thing. It might be kind of a tough pill to swallow that Klay Thompson sits out most of the year for the Warriors and plays in the Olympics. That'd be an interesting scenario.
It'd be a nice workup, though, to get him
And what I'm also saying is the Warriors have always said to their players, if you want to play, play. Now, that's one thing where they've been really consistent about that. If Klay Thompson and Steph Curry want to play in the Olympics, they can play in the Olympics. There's no pushback from the organization.
I think the other benefit in just coming right out and saying, hey, the next update's going to be at the All-Star break, is it lets the team know. It makes the statement to the team, hey, this is the point you have to get to if
right.
you want to make a run.
Yeah.
Like it shows you that there's no, help ain't coming.
Right.
In January.
Right.
To me, it tells everybody you got to fight, you got to play buttoned up, you got to win some games
right.
without him to warrant his return being meaningful.
Right.
I think it's better to have a team just know they're going to be without a guy for a specific amount of time rather than the, oh, could it be December? Could it be January? Could it be early February? Now you're basically saying he's not playing till March.
Right. The other thing I was thinking about that's going to be a really difficult thing, I think, for some Warrior fans is this is going to be the first time in, I think, 4 years where they're going to look out on the floor on any given night and say, we don't have the best team tonight. The other team on the floor is better than us. That you could not say that the past 3 years. The Warriors always had the better team on the floor. So that's going to be another adjustment. The Warriors internally are going to have to deal with kind of a confidence issue because they don't know how good they are right now compared with some other teams. Without Klay and with all these new players. So, to me, I look at this as exciting. I really do. I'm excited for this year because you just don't know where the chips are going to fall. It's going to be different, but I think it's going to be exciting.
Let's get to Scott in Berkeley. Scott, you're up next here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Scott.
Morning, fellas. How you doing?
Hey, what's up?
Extending on the thought you just made, my problem is I don't see how you look at anything knowing that when December 15th hits and you can start moving the guys who were signed in the off season, how anything shakes out. Because
right.
I keep going back, I keep saying this. Washington made the extension offer to Bradley Beal. Beal hasn't signed it. If they don't sign him by opening night, they're going to have to move him in the trade period. I've said before, I think if the Warriors have to do it, if the Warriors have the opportunity, they move Russell. And I don't mean it in a bad way, but I'm kind of a little bit of an old guy, so I kind of remember Bernard King for Michael Ray Richardson.
Sure.
Kevin Durant for D'Angelo Russell kind of hits me that way.
Oh, I got you. I got you. No, and thanks for the call, Scott. Appreciate it. December 15th, obviously, is when certain guys can be moved. I don't know. I don't know that there's anything. I don't know that there is a plan. And I don't mean that in a negative way. But I think the Warriors right now, their options are open. I think Bob Myers and Joe Lacob and Steve Kerr, they have nothing predisposed right now. They're going to go into this year, and they're going to make decisions as the season moves forward, I think.
They've been pretty open in saying they want D'Angelo Russell.
Right.
They want to see how he is a part of, can be a part of this. Like they view him right now as a player that they want as a foundation piece moving forward.
It's basically like he was there. He was the fifth pick in the draft. We got to see if this guy's really good.
And I've sort of viewed it like him is more of a trade chip. Let's get into that, maybe coming back a little bit.
Okay.
I want to ask you basically if you're buying that or not. And we do have more phone calls, and we are out here at the Warrior Shop at Thrive City until 1 o'clock. So 888-957-9570. More phone calls. Just taking your expectations for this Warriors team as it all tips off tonight with the inaugural game at Chase Center. It's J.D. and Steiny, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
J.D. and Steiny and you at 888-957-9570 as we are broadcasting live from Chase Center and more specifically the Warrior Shop at Thrive City, just set to open here in about 10 minutes. We're going to be out here until 1 o'clock. Stop by, say hi. If you're making a day of coming to the first basketball game at Chase Center, which is going to be tonight, the Warriors and the Lakers, a 5 o'clock tip right here on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, looking forward to it. When we're getting ready for a journey into the unknown, and it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be different. And I bet you if you give me $5 for every time I say different this year about the Warriors, then this will be my last year in the Bay Area working, because that's what it's going to be. Night in and night out, we got to figure out what this team is, and we got to see how good they're going to be, because it's really hard to tell right now.
888-957-9570. That's where Mike in Daly City checks in. Mike, you're up next here on 95.7 The Game.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hey, Mike.
I had some thoughts about how Steve Kerr might want to handle the team this year.
All right.
Just from an effectiveness standpoint, making the playoffs, because I think there's at least 10 or 11 teams that are as good as the Warriors, talent-wise, at least before Klay comes back.
Okay.
And I think what you have to do is concentrate on, let's call it the bottom feeders, whatever you think the 4, 5, 6 teams are that are not going to be likely to make the playoffs, and try to beat them. You know, just like a lot of the, quote, mediocre teams used to do. You know, you beat the New Orleans and the Sacramentos and the Minnesotas 9 out of 10 times, and circle those games on your schedule instead of circling the Lakers and the Clippers and the Jazz and the Blazers and whoever, who are going to win, you know, 50 games plus all the time anyway this year. Just hope to split those games. I think it would be a lot better emotional, attitude-wise, whatever you want to call it, strategy for the Warriors this year to focus on the bottom feeders and the East, of course, and try to win those games and get 30, 35 wins from those teams alone, and then maybe you can get to 45 or 50.
Thanks, Mike. No, I get what you're saying, Mike, and I'm not saying that's not a good strategy. It's tough to tell a championship team, you know, let's put a little extra effort into the games we should win, and we'll take our chances with the Lakers.
I think it's a fair point, though, in theory, because I mean, the Warriors would, yeah, you know, they'd take a bad loss here or there, a few more of them as each year, time went on during their run and their reign of dominance. They really can't afford to have as many of those this year, but the problem is they also aren't going to be as dominant a team as they've been.
Right.
So you're going to have to go all in on those games, and you're going to have to make sure you win them. I mean, Phoenix. The other thing is, who are the bottom feeders? Like that, I mean, I think Phoenix and Memphis are probably the only two you can say, okay, those teams are clear cut, not very good.
Right.
You know, the low 20s, let's say, in terms of wins. You know, but then you probably, you know, what's Minnesota and Oklahoma City? I mean, Oklahoma City still has Chris Paul. If you took Chris Paul off of their team, I'd say they're a bottom feeder, and maybe they are anyway.
Right.
But, you know, Sacramento, New Orleans, and Dallas think they're going to make the playoffs.
Exactly.
Like, that is the one difference. And so I wouldn't, while I, going into the year, would say I don't think Sacramento, New Orleans, or Dallas, any of the three, will make the playoffs, because I think the Warriors will still make it. I think the Lakers will take Oklahoma City's spot, just looking at it going into the year. Those teams still think they're going to make it and have a shot to make it. So I wouldn't call Sacramento or New Orleans or Dallas bottom feeders. So how many bottom feeders are we really talking about at that point?
Well, I mean, that's a great question. I mean, there's always going to be a team or two that's a little better. Yeah, that's a little better than you think. I think it's possible that Dallas still isn't good. I think it's possible Memphis isn't good. I think it's possible Minnesota takes a step back. You expect the Pelicans to be better. The Thunder might be in for a long year. Phoenix, I still don't see it.
And Sacramento, in many ways, is almost the perfect example of what we're talking. Sacramento may not
be. What did they win last year? Like
39.
39.
So I mean, Sacramento may not be as good as they were last year in terms of wins and losses, but they also may be more apt to beat the Warriors once or twice.
Right.
the Warriors won all four last year, but barely.
Right.
And that was
right.
when the Warriors had their guys, and they barely won. And you know the Sacramento teams, they're going to be up for the Warriors still, thinking that they're really close to maybe taking their spot if things don't go well. So the Kings may not be as good, but they also may be more apt to beat the Warriors. I mean, that was a 4-0 last year. So anything you lose, you go 2-2 this year. That's two games to the negative when you start looking at year to year.
Yeah, and we had Mike Brown on Monday at Media Day, and I'm telling you, he couldn't have stressed patience anymore if you'd have begged him to. And it really, listen, and I've said this before, but it's worth repeating. 2 years ago, after the Warriors won their third title at the parade in Oakland, Steve Kerr came over for an interview, and we were talking to him about the regular season and what it was going to be last year. And he said, because you remember, it was kind of getting to be drudgery in Durant's second year, the regular season, how they kept motivated, et cetera. And he said, going into last year, the young players have to carry us. They have to carry us through the regular season, or at least really be a big part of what we're doing. Well, guess what? It never happened. Because the young players did not step up. So I think now, but last year, Steve Kerr had to bite the bullet and say, you know what? Okay, these guys aren't going to be able to get us through the year, so we got to rely on the Currys and the KDs, et cetera, et cetera. This year, there's no sense in not making the young players show what they have, because you're not going to win 60 games. You might not think of yourself as a championship contender. And to me, I think the big thing is, let's say Steve Kerr's committed. We got to find out, about D'Angelo Russell. We got to find out about Jordan Poole. We got to find out about Smiley Geach and Jacob Evans. Well, if you're committed to doing that, that doesn't really dovetail with, well, let's do what we can to hang in it till Clay gets back here. And then when he gets back here, we might be able to make a run to the NBA Finals. I don't think you can do that if you're going to commit to your young players. You're going to take losses early in the season then that you maybe didn't expect to take or didn't want to take. So it's almost like if you're going to commit to playing young players, in a way you are saying, we don't think it's that realistic to get in the eighth seed or get Clay back and make a run.
It's a lot to balance.
Exactly.
Is a lot to balance.
Yes.
It's how hard do you go with Curry and Draymond Green, right, to win the games against the bottom feeders,
right,
like the caller mentioned. Like, how hard do you go to do that versus making sure those guys aren't overtaxing themselves for the future versus, okay, the young players are going to have to play now by default. And that may mean that you take a few more L's than you would have anticipated, but
right,
there's going to be a benefit down the line for doing that. So it's tricky. It really is. And then Klay Thompson at the back end of it is tied to all of it, because I really think the Warriors have to be at a certain level to make it fully worth Klay Thompson returning and trying to go full bore at the end of the year. There's a difference between returning and using it as a means to prepare for the next season,
right,
and returning to make a run.
Right.
Those are almost two different things.
No doubt. And the one thing also is, what if, let's say they don't make the playoffs this upcoming year for whatever reason. Well, you know what? Then at least you got a lottery pick. Okay, you've got a lottery pick, which you haven't had in ages, and you've got your mid-level exception next year. So maybe you could make a case the best way to do it would be to slip out of it for a year, knowing that Clay's coming back at full strength, and knowing you may have the number 9 pick, and knowing maybe you can target a free agent that you can get in here for $6 million or whatever. And then maybe at that point you say, you know what? If maybe we can make the right trade with D'Angelo Russell. That is why this year is going to be so – that's why I'm fascinated by this year, because I can see this team missing the playoffs, but I can see this team being dangerous at the right time.
Yeah, it could go both ways.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. Let's keep it moving on the phone lines. And you are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ-FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. On the phones, Tish in Hercules. Tish, you're up next here on Warriors This Week. Hey, Tish.
Hi, JD and Steiny.
How are you?
Thank you for taking my call. I'm so glad you guys are back on Saturday morning. As a true basketball fan, I can't believe how excited I am. I'm driving around doing my errands. I'm trying to be philosophical, so I'm wearing my KD shirt. I'm not going to wear it to Chase today.
Okay.
But the point is that I feel, Steiny, you said it. You know, this is in many ways more exciting than any season. I'm a season ticket holder, but I'm going to this preseason game today because I want to see what do they got.
Yeah.
I only know the names and numbers of about five guys on our roster. So I am genuinely curious to see what these other guys have. I'm genuinely curious to see the Western Conference because
right. There
are so many changes in our Western Conference. So if you're a basketball lover, you've got to be excited about what this season presents. And to me, it's almost going to be like chess because there are going to be so many moving parts and so many strategies at play. And then on top of it, we've got a nice building. I can't wait to get to a booth in the Modelo Club, have a margarita, and look over and watch the court from there. It's going to be fabulous this season. And I really don't agree with people who feel that the Warriors can be counted out. I don't mind if we don't go to the finals, but we're going to get to the playoffs, or we're going to have fun trying to.
Yeah, you know, let me just throw this at you, Tish, because I want to see if, like, you understand the difference. So, in a crazy kind of way, I am more excited about this year than any in the last. Well, Durant's first year was definitely going to be exciting, but his second and third years, like, I'm looking more forward to this season than I have the past two. And it's not because I'm glad that they're not going to win it this year. They might not win it. It's just, we kind of knew what was going to happen the last 2 years. You know what I mean?
Anticipation. I remember so many games I'd be sitting there, and I love my Warriors, but I'd be sitting there and we're up by 10. And so I'd say to the person next to me, well, let's see if we can get up by 20. And then we get up by 20. I'd say, let's see if we can get to 30.
Right.
That's the way it was.
Yeah.
Now we are literally going to be white-knuckled waiting to see what happens quarter to quarter.
Right.
To me, that's going to be really exciting.
I agree with you, Tish. Thank you so much for the call. Appreciate it. And thanks for listening. I'm with her. I mean, I'm with her. I don't want to say the Warriors got stale because they've gone to five straight NBA finals, but they became predictable. How about if we say that?
What do you think of this theory? Because Tish mentioned the Western Conference, and I'm going to run all my theories by you today because we haven't done a lot of shows together in the last couple months. But I'm looking at it this way. I'm thinking, okay, all these teams in the West have two stars now, right?
Right.
The Lakers have LeBron and Anthony Davis. We're going to see them tonight. The Clippers now have Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Portland still has Lillard and McCollum. You could make a case Denver has Jamal Murray and Jokic at center. Utah is a little different. They may not have two bona fide stars, but they have Donovan Mitchell and now Conley and Gobert. So I think between the three, they have, I think, the equivalent of, let's say, two stars between the three players, and maybe a little bit more there. But you know, Westbrook and Harden now are together in Houston. You could even make a case that San Antonio has DeRozan and Aldridge, right? Two guys.
And they're getting Murray back.
Exactly. But
right.
those two specifically.
Sure.
So you look at the Western Conference, and I may have left a team out, but all these teams have two stars. Do the Warriors still have more star power, potentially, when it's all said and done, if you have Curry and Draymond and D'Angelo Russell fits and Klay Thompson comes back? That's the one case for if you can get to March and you're in it, do you have more star power still than these other teams in the West?
Well, I think you're going to know what I'm getting at right here. To me, there's the player that is... And people might say, well, this is an insult. But when you talk about those players, I really think, well, where does Draymond fit in? You know, I mean, I don't, like, when you're talking about Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and let's just say, to start, the Warriors are going Curry and Draymond. I don't know if Draymond is in that league. And the other thing is like one of the reasons Draymond, well, Draymond's a great player. Let's just put that there. But you know what? This year, he's always had a luxury of not having to score. Whenever he's scored, it's always been lights out because if Draymond scores. So I do think I think Warriors are going to feel his not being able to score more this year, clearly, than in the last 5 years. There's just no doubt about it. Now, how much can he score, and how much can he score efficiently? Because can he get back to 13, 14 a game? I don't know. I think, what do you think, average 7 a game last year?
Well, he's going to have to score more, and I think he knows he's going to have to score more. And I think
that's not his strength.
It's not his strength, although have you seen his three-point shot at practice?
Not at practice, but I've
seen him working on it a little bit.
All right.
That was one of my wild predictions in the offseason. I think Draymond Green's going to come back and shoot the three better than he has.
Well, don't forget, the year before Durant came, he actually shot threes better than Durant. Durant's last year in Oklahoma City, and that year, what's the year? That would have been the year after Cleveland. He shot it at like 37, 38%.
Yeah, the 16 year, the 73
correct.
Win year.
Correct.
The 73 win
yes.
year. And so
yes.
I actually think the shooting and the scoring got to a point with Draymond where he was like, you know what, I'm not even going to worry about it.
You're right about that.
We got so much.
You're right about that.
There's so many other guys, and Durant, you know, there's maybe some friction going on here about who's the man and all
right.
this. I think it got to a point maybe not even last year, maybe 2 years ago, where Draymond, even Durant's first year with the team, where he just, Draymond said, you know what, we got plenty of scores.
Right.
We got three maybe Hall of Fame, Hall of Fame scorers on this team. I'm not even going to.
But that's kind of, that's the other thing. I mean, when Draymond doesn't have to score, that's when he's most effective as a scorer. When he knows he has to score, that's different. And then you start doing some things maybe you don't normally do. I don't know what kind of scorer Draymond Green's going to be if he has to get you 12 to 15 a game. Can he do that 80 games or 75 games? I don't know.
From Tish, we go to Robin in the city. Robin in San Francisco, you're up next here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Robin.
Hey, you two. How you? What it do?
How are you? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey. So listen, guys. I don't know about the rest of these people, but I'm not excited about this season. We sucked for so long that I was glad we was winners. And I wanted to be like the Yankees of the baseball, kick everybody's butt. I just get a little frustrated that it seems like everyone, it's so deserving that LeBron and Anthony Davis together, that all these other teams with these combinations, which I think are a result of the Warriors.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.